So the reason I do this is because the Rav used to give a lady's share to the for Hilchas Pesach, practical Pesach, and it was just covering everything as much as, you know, one by one facts. It's no pilpul, straightforward halacha, which you need to know. Everybody needs to be a Rav when it comes to Pesach. There's so much to know, and there's so much to be, there's so much involvement here. So I really like that. I used to listen to the lady's share every year, and it was good stuff. It was very geschmack. But I felt the men need this also. The men need this format. Now, really, you should really learn everything be'ian. And there's so much. This is not really the way to do it. But the reason I'm calling it a crash course is because it's, you just, at the end of the day, you have to know what to do. At the end of the day, you have to be well versed in all the halachas, and there's just a lot to know. So, of course, this is not a substitute for not learning the halachas. 100% learn everything, be in, and there's going to be things that I'm going to say here based on the psak from the Rav, from Rav Radinsky. If you have a different family minig or your Rav says something else, obviously ask a shaila. This is not a substitute for that either. This is just what, you know, much of this is coming straightforward from the Shulchan Aruch, Paiske, Mishneh Berurah, but, you know, whatever, there are some things, and I'll try to, you know, point those out, but you should always go ask a shaila if you have any question or any doubt. And if anybody needs, I have the notes here. I have an abbreviated version this year. So if you want these notes, you can also, and anyone on the app who wants me to send them a copy, it's heshyfriedman@gmail.com. heshyfriedman@gmail.com. I'm happy to email the notes out, and everybody can take a copy over here as well.
The complete version is in the Sefer.
Yes, and the complete version is in the Sefer, the R. Avram Nissen. Brought to us now by Rabbi Leo Winselberg. Okay, we're going to go very fast here. I really want to do this in under an hour, and I'm going to do something differently this year. I'm going to combine both the preparations for Pesach and the Lel Seder in one quick shot. We'll see if we can get through it all. It's going to go very fast, so buckle your seatbelts. Okay, so I'm going to start off first with the Zman Abdikas Chametz. Zman Abdikas Chametz, the proper Zman, according to most opinions, is Seisak HaChovim. And you should follow your general minig as far as Matzah Shabbos when you keep the end of Shabbos. That does not include Taisa Shabbos. If you're keeping an extra 10 minutes, 20 minutes, if you're keeping 72 alts Chumrah for Taisa Shabbos, then in a Hanami, then do 50 minutes or if that's your shear. But do what the your Iker shear is. So, but there's really an Inyan to start right away. You don't want to schlep around. There's a real Inyan to start as soon as possible. So once Zman comes, you should make sure to start right away. You also, you can't do any malachas or any, you're not supposed to eat. Within half an hour of the Zman Bedika, you have to already start, you know, preparing yourself to do the Bedika. And you can't even, basically, you shouldn't, once the Zman Bedika comes, you shouldn't eat anything once the Zman Bedika comes. Up to half an hour, you shouldn't sit down and do something bekvias. But once the Zman comes, don't eat anything. One should also start the bedika at this proper Zman, even if he didn't finish cleaning everything. Let's say I didn't finish vacuuming the car, or I still have to do the downstairs, you know, bedroom. So start the bedika, and that will be part of the bedika process. Meaning, the bedika will include everything you're going to clean after that you didn't get to yet. You don't push off the bedika because you didn't finish something yet. Now, the idea is also, this is very important, the main, according to most poskim, many poskim, and this is what we generally poskin like, is that you're looking for a kazayas of chametz, right? That little piece of Cheerios under the radiator is not going to be a problem. Think of a kazayas is the size, I mean, pshutei kimashmai is the size of an olive. So that's what you're looking for. Unless it's in the kitchen or where there's going to be other food around, so people go mamish meshugana looking for, they clean, they spend hours in the bedroom. If you want to do spring cleaning, gesundheit, it's very nice. But the main thing is you're looking for a kazayas. You're looking for a kazayas unless it's in the kitchen where there's going to be other food around, and then you're looking for more.
There was just an article today in the Times of Israel, very interesting about that some guy found eggs from the first bias, broken up shells, and they put it together, and they found out the size of a bay. This is written in today's thing, and it's 61 grams or something, which is less than a jumbo egg, but it's about the size of a regular extra large egg, the same kind of egg we used to have all along. And it took them forever. The pieces were in a million pieces. It's been in the museum for a long time. It's very
really?
Interesting article. If you want to see it. Look it up, Times of Israel.
So now you can figure out kazayas.
They say kazayas is exactly, if no, they went to Gabeah. They said the only person that would affect would be the Litvak. But the Litvak are not, they're not going to change anyway, because they hold double the size. But they
put the right.
Same eggs.
So, Shkoich. So, yeah. Okay. So you also, you only have to check places where there's a possibility of that there's chametz that could have been there, like attics, crawl spaces. You don't have to check there if you're not going to generally put chametz there during the year. When you have young children around, obviously there's more areas that are suspect because children can put things anywhere. And I've, you know, I actually found stuff in very interesting places, and I've found real chametz, like a gluska yafa. I found once in a bike, you know, the chair that comes up from the little tyke's bike. Yeah, so again, what you're really looking for is, you know, when you find one of those the granola bars, you know, that's a gluska yafa, that's a full kazayis. That's, you know, you find a bag of pretzels, small bag of pretzels. That when you're looking for them, when you find that, you scored. You know, that's the idea here. That doesn't mean, obviously, you clean up everything around, but the idea is not to go totally crazy. You have to check the pockets of your clothing, check the talis bags, because sometimes you find pekelech in there from an offer from, you know, who knows when. Always think about things that you can, places where you'll have real chametz, you know, real kazayis of chametz. If a clothing goes through a washing machine, the washing machine is going to be nifsal. It's anything that goes through a washing machine. You can use a tablecloth that you use during the year. You can use that on Pesach if it goes through the washing machine. That's going to effectively kosher it. If you have, let's say you see chametz and you can't get it out. What's that? The washing machine. Well, generally speaking, when you want, unless you're doing like permanent press. Right. So, that, I mean, if you're washing a normal tablecloth, mistami, you're going to use hot. Right. So it's how are you? So a washing machine generally when you're doing tablecloths. But if you're doing mistama, it's also gonna the soap is gonna be pogam the whatever chametz is in there also. Svarim, you don't have to check all the svarim. Some people go through the whole svarim shrunk. Again, you're not eating unless you're gonna be eating on top of the svarim. You know, you're having a suda there, then you don't have to check the svarim shrunk. Cars should be checked after you check the house. The cars obviously still need to, you have to do bedika on the cars. And if you have, let's say you see chametz in an area that you can't get to, and you don't have somebody with an airbrush that can, you know, shoot it out. So you can do is you can spray detergent on that area. You can spritz it, and once you spritz it with detergent, it will become or you know, WD-40 or anything that would make it no longer a roit for achila. Then you're gonna suffice for removing the chametz. That's not a problem. Ba'yir ba'yamatzah. Okay, medications, cosmetics, and other products. Okay, as far as most poskim, I mean, today follow the Chazon Ish. You ask most rabbanim today, as far as taking medications, any non-flavored medication is not going to be a problem of chametz. Even though you ingest it, it's not achila. So any liquid and chewable medications, they need to be on an approved list, or you get a heter from, you ask a shayla, you ask a doctor, you ask a rav, because those could be, once there's flavor involved, but don't stop a medication if you're not sure. Ask. I asked the Rav about, let's say somebody who has children with allergies. They have allergies to like taking Benadryl. Benadryl is in like liquid form. So he was mater that if a child, you know, that could be, he was mater for a child. Kidneyous ingredients do not present a problem regarding medication. Anyone taking vitamins or supplements, those require valid Pesach certification. I mean, get it from an approved list. Cosmetics don't present any problem. The only exception is lipstick, which goes by the mouth. So one should get a lipstick that's on an approved list. There's plenty of lists out there. If you go to DJ's wife's store, Limage, they have all the, they know all the stuff. DJ, that's a plug for you. Okay, perfumes. Okay, and the Rav this year was very makel on this, more so than even in previous years, on as far as shampoos, soaps, spray deodorants, shoe polish, moisturizer, any of these type of things, he said it's not a problem. And even, he said, even regarding moisturizers or shampoos that have oat there that are like oat-based, he came out that it wasn't a problem at all, not only not to keep, but even to use. So you can use it on Yantif. Any item that goes into the mouth, like mouthwash and toothpaste, that you need to have it on an approved list. Okay. As far as selling the chametz, Lamaisa, one only needs to sell things that have tangible chametz. Utensils, like let's say chametz utensils or kidneys, don't have to be sold. You can just store it away out of the way. If you're selling areas in a house, if you're not selling the whole house, then you can't just label part of a cabinet or part of a fridge. You have to do full sections. There could be some rabbanim allow it, you know, but at least here and generally it should be avoided. If you're selling chametz in the car, it should be specified in the sale contract. As far as selling chametz gomer, one generally follows their family minig, but one has to be very careful. If you're selling chametz gomer, if you don't sell chametz gomer, don't give it to somebody who does sell chametz gomer and then get it back, because it might not be a full kinyan, and then your chumra is going to be a kula that you're going to really have chametz shovel of a Pesach. So you don't keep it, throw it out or give it away, and don't expect to get it back. Chametz gomer does not include things that are teruvas chametz. So if you don't sell chametz gomer, you can still sell your whiskey, your beer, anything that's not actual chametz gomer, like cookies, bread, cereal, noodles, those would be a problem. And anything else, pretty much, aside from the main grain materials, you would be able to sell as part of the sale process. Okay. Basically, also...
I'm trying to think, what would be the spark for distinction? Do you know offhand?
Distinction between...
Taruvas
chametz, which is a mixture. Like a beer is made out of the barley.
It's still real chametz.
But it's not, it's taruvas, it's mixed with other stuff.
Why is that changing?
I think that the gedder that the Rav said this year was, if it's something that's able to make something else chametz, if it's enough... Once it's a taruvus and it's mixed into something else, then it no longer has a power on its own to effectively make chametz. Whereas a taruvus, something that's a chametz gomer, that could still become chametz, make other things chametz. There's different times as far as when the sale takes place, and this is a thing that I think it's very important for anybody who sells chametz here to know, is that the sale takes place at the Zman Bedikas Chametz. So the sale will take place approximately 50 minutes after Shkia over here, which means that if you're selling your chametz here, or any Rav that sells through Rabbi Radinsky, like Rabbi Center or Regali, but I think he does it during the day, he does an extra sale on the day, Regali. But if you're selling, you have to make sure your chametz is labeled at the Zman Bedika. You can't go ahead and, 2 hours after the Zman Bedika, go ahead and label the chametz label the areas as chametz, because the sale already took place, so you can't do it anymore. So just, that's a very important thing to keep in mind. We don't make a shachiyano medikas chametz, but there is a hider to put on a beged chadash, put on a new beged, or have a pre-chadash when you do the... So you make it, therefore you make a shachiyano when it's not a slavic bracha. As far as candles, only use a single wick candle. You can substitute the candle for... I mean, you should start with a real candle, but you can use a flashlight. Now, the proper way to do it is an incandescent bulb, which is really hard to find these days, incandescent flashlights. They're really going out of style. But if you have any, if you can buy any, stock up on them, because they're going to be a thing of the past. But those things act more like as an ash, so you have a better... It's a better than fluorescent and LED. Even fluorescents are going out now. Everything's turning into LED. Basically, once you start the bedika, don't talk and make any hefsik from when you make the bracha until you start the bedika. And then once you do the bedika, don't pick up the phone and start schmoozing with your mother-in-law who's talking about the Pesach plans. Meaning get the bedika done and only focus on the things that are related to the bedika. And you can assign different people to different areas in the house. You can have this person do that room, another person do that room, but preferably you should have if there's somebody under bar mitzvah checking a room, have an adult go afterwards and make sure that to make sure that everything on that room or whatever they checked is going to be a proper bedika. As far as the wooden spoon, you don't have to use a wooden spoon. You don't have to use the feathers, even though they send them in the fundraising things, but I saw this year, the Mishmor brings down, there is a mitzvah to burn it says the keli that you use for the bedikas chametz with the chametz itself. So if you get that spoon, you want to use it and you want to throw it into the fire, there is a hider on that. So to burn the spoon. Yeah, so I'm going to burn the spoon this year. Another thing is, a small piece is less than a kazayas. The only you would have a problem if they're not hard, but if they're doughy and they can clump together, then you would have to, if you have pieces of dough that are less than a kazayas that can be connected to each other, that would be an issue as well. The minhag to place 10 pieces of chametz around the house is brought down the Ramah, so you don't make a bracha vatal, but it's very strange. L'maisa, the mitzvah is the bedika. So you're putting down those 10 pieces really doesn't affect that the bracha or not. But still, the minig is to do it and just make sure that it shouldn't be, this chumr shouldn't be a kula that you forget where all of them are or you don't know, you know, you make sure you remember where all of them are. And if let's say you're having your wife put those pieces away and hide them, kind of quote hide them, they shouldn't really be hidden. They should be in a place where you can find them, because if they're hidden, then they're in a makom she'ena that's not chayv medika, and then you kind of miss the point with that as well. Okay, bedikas chametz for those traveling. This is very important. This is very negiah to a lot of people. Okay, so if you're going to leave your home prior to Yudalit, then you do a regular bedika, but don't make a bracha. So you're leaving before the zman bedikas chametz. So you still have to check your, and you're not going to sell your whole house. You have to do bedika on your whole house, but you don't make a bracha. You only make a bracha once it's zman bedika. If you're renting a room in a hotel and you're there already on Lel Yadalad, so you do bedika in the room that you're renting, and you make a bracha in that room of the hotel. If you arrive on the hotel on Erev Pesach, you still need to do bedika, but then you don't make a bracha on it. And you always, anytime, if you check into a hotel on Chol HaMoed, let's say you're going just for Chol HaMoed, when you come in, you got to do bedika as well, even though you didn't need to do it, even though you weren't there before Yantiv. You still do bedika, no bracha. Okay, so if you're going to leave your home after your Dalit, and you're going to be selling the home in Pesach, you want to leave an area, you're going to be there, so you want to just leave an area that you can still do a bedika on. So yeah, at least you can have the inyan of doing the bedika. So you're selling your house, you're going away for Pesach, you're selling your house, but you're still there, Lel Yadalit, and sleeping over, you're not going to leave till the next morning. So what you should do is leave a room that you didn't sell, preferably, and then you can do bedika on that room. So then you do it with the bracha and everything. Okay. Okay, let's talk about koshering. Koshering, basically, anything that's being koshered, you have to thoroughly clean it before you do the koshering. And you can't use it within 24 hours of koshering with hot. Now, you can use a sink, you can wash chametz dishes in a sink if it's cold. It's only an issue if it's hot. Hagala will only suffice for things that you use for cooking. Anything you use on the fire, a grill or anything like that, require liban. If you want a grill on Yontif, the best thing to do is get new racks for your grill, and then you can just run it on the highest setting, and that will kosher everything else. So that's if you want to, for those diehards who can't live without making a grill, a barbecue on Yontif. Just the grates. You get Pesach dikka grates. Grates, you could kosher grates through liban, but the problem is there's stuff on there that's very hard to get off. It's very hard to kosher. So maker than you could, yes, but it's very hard to do it. So therefore, it's almost impossible to kosher barbecue grates because. What's that?
Very little.
No, I warm buns on the grates. I warm the hot dog buns on the grates, so on my grill. So. If you right, if you would do like Aaron Spivak does, and he koshers when he goes to a park, he koshers the grill. Okay, he does. He has a whole method to doing it. He does. He makes a whole, you know, but I'm not that sophisticated. Anything today also, like as far as koshering utensils, Baruch Hashem, we live in a generation of a lot of availability for to buy special Pesach utensils. So it's better to just buy special Pesach cutlery and utensils rather than koshering them. Again, in the olden days, they only had one set of pots and pans, so they koshered it for Pesach. You know, they had one set of cutlery, they koshered it. You know, it's not so long ago, right? Today, Baruch Hashem, everybody has and should have designated the cutlery and pots and pans for koshering for Pesach. That they don't kosher themselves. Also, koshering. If it's best to kosher with a koshering service, because you either have to know the halachas or you should use a service to kosher like utensils or something like that, because sometimes there's designs in them and in between the forks, it's not necessarily so easy. So you have to know what you're doing. Okay, ovens, self cleaning ovens are very easy to kosher. You just run the cycle once through the self cleaning cycle. And that will effectively make it, I think, something to like 900 degrees. And that will, 500 degrees? Okay, what? Either way, what? It's more than 500. 900? Either whatever the temperature is, we have a chiluk of days here. But whatever the temperature is, it's enough to and when the cycle is over, everything in there is nothing but charcoal and it's kosher. Non-self cleaning ovens is actually machlokis. So those who hold that you could kosher it, you spray it with Easy Off first, clean out all the anything in there that any mamashis in there with Easy Off, and then run it on the highest cycle. If those who hold you can't kosher a non-self cleaning oven, then just do the same thing and then line it with foil. Line all the surfaces with foils. Okay, stove grates on the top. So the easiest way to kosher them is if you have a self-cleaning oven, just take the grates and throw them into the oven while you're doing the self-cleaning cycle. Actually, Dr. Fromer told me that some of them have on the bottom, they have rubber bumpers. So that might get damaged if you throw it into the oven. So what you should do is, in that case, or if you just don't want to throw the whole thing into the oven, is you can run it on the highest, make sure it's clean, and run on the highest setting for about 15, let's say 20 minutes on the highest. And most grates will turn red hot at that temperature, that will effectively kosher the stovetops. So if I remember correctly, I think the Rav said 15-20 minutes. I saw on the CRC guide they said 30 minutes, but don't use a blech. Because a blech, if you put it on the highest on the blech, you might be making a fire hazard. It has to, it's your highest level of usage. So your highest level of usage is going to be on the highest flame for if you're going to leave it on for 20-30 minutes, you're well beyond the usage that it's ever going to have had before. So the blech is not going to you're not going to gain anything by putting the blech above it. In microwaves, what's that?
Blowtorch.
The problem with the blowtorch is it doesn't have enough. Technically it would work, but you want to keep it on longer because the fire could be on longer when you're cooking something with chametz. Unless you want to keep it, if you keep the blowtorch and it sits on it and it turns red hot like that, once it gets red hot, you did libun, so it's fine. But you have to have the blowtorch sitting on it for a good amount of time to do that. It's thick metal, so it takes longer to heat up like that. Enamel stovetops cannot be koshered. You should cover it with foil. Also, some of the glass, they have some of the newer glass. It's made of ceramic. What's it made of? Enamel.
Feldspar.
So they should be kosherable then. If it's made out of feldspar, it's a rock, but it's probably mixed with other materials in there. Okay, microwaves are generally used with open food throughout the year, and therefore it's complicated to kosher. If they're used with open food, we generally prefer not to kosher them. Now, you could kosher a microwave, let's say, if you have an oven a microwave that you didn't use during the year with chametz or with covered, you only covered the chametz in there, so then you could kosher by steaming it up with, boiling it in there and steaming it up. But generally speaking, the bottom line is, and you have to also, the tray is a problem, the glass tray. But don't use a chametz oven unless, you have that scenario where you didn't use chametz in there that was uncovered, which is a very uncommon scenario. Hagala. So as far as koshering a sink, we pour, you take a hot pot, a boiling hot pot, and pour it all around this. You have to cover every surface when you pour it on the sink. You cover the whole surface. I heard that there are some sinks that have a covering that you can't get to it if you can't kosher that way. So for those, you can use a steamer to get in that spot where you can kosher.
You can't get to the kosher, but you neither get to
it. Right. But you want to get the whole sink. Right, exactly. And that's why it suffices that alone. Generally speaking, steamers are going to be a problem. Steamers are not necessarily the best way to kosher it. And there are certain limited circumstances where you could use steamers, but generally speaking, we don't rely on steamers. Just do koshering the old-fashioned way with the Hagola. Okay. Faucets don't need to be koshered. You just need to clean them. Granite, marble, and stainless steel countertops can be koshered through Hagola. You just pour water on the entire surface and make sure the water is boiling and bubbling over. Now, even if they have a lot of them have a lacquer coating. They put this it's like a coating on the top of the rock or the granite or whatever. The rough hold is not a problem. You can still kosher it despite that. However, he's makpid on, they have some of these new materials. Yaakov and I were just musing about this yesterday. The composite, quartz composite, Silestone. What was the other brand? Caesar stone. These are made out of stone, 90, 95% stone, but the 5% is fillers and plastic, synthetic polycarbons or whatever else they put in there. So that he holds, many kosher organizations hold you could kosher that. So somebody might get a psak that they could, and that's fine. But if you're, you know, the Rav here does not allow you to kosher that, those type material. Also, there's even some kosher organizations that allow you to kosher formica. But again, most Paiskim don't allow that, as far as I know. So we don't. Yeah, just cover if you have formica or any of those. If it's non-metal or non-stone, marble is also kosherable. Marble is stone. Any non-metal or non-stone, anything with any synthetic type of material, we generally would just cover it. Okay, Teflon also is not pure metal, so that is not kosherable. Any plastic. Again, some people hold. Rav Ovadia Yosef has a tshuva on this, but we generally don't. We don't kosher plastic. Glassware. Also, Ashkenazim do not. We don't kosher glassware. Oh, see, our Svarti. You're just talking about glass right now. So I was going to say we don't kosher, but for you, it's very easy glass, right? You just wash it off, rinse it off, and you can. Right, Svartim should only use. Okay. Yeah. So. Again, so we don't kosher glass, but the rive of the people here don't, but Sfardim do.
Some Ashkenazim
do also. Okay, but I'm saying generally speaking, not. Okay, what else here? Bechers. Bechers don't need to be koshered because they're used for cold throughout the year, even if you once used them for hot, but still in all, because they have like these designs in them, the general minig is to kosher them. I kosher them, but you really don't. If you didn't kosher your bechers right before Yontiv, gesundheit, just rinse it out and you can use it for Pesach. Okay, refrigerators and freezer shelves, you can scrub them clean. You don't have to line them, again, because it's used for cold. Okay, there's never hot used in the fridge. And generally, even if you have a lot of people, if they put a hot soup in the fridge, they put a trivet or something underneath it. But again, people line them. It's a double precaution. But if you scrub and rinse well, you should be fine. Handles, oven handles, like refrigerator handles, oven handles, anything that you touch and pull, you don't have to cover them, but you have to thoroughly clean them. Refrigerator gaskets don't need to be cleaned. Any non-kosherable surfaces that have contact with food, you should cover if you're going to use them with food on Pesach. Also, same thing with appliances that don't have direct contact with food. For example, can openers, corkscrews, any of these type of things. If you clean them, you can use them on Pesach. Again, most people are afraid to do that, and they just buy fresh utensils for Pesach. But I'm just saying that if it doesn't have direct contact with food, then it's not a problem if you make sure they're clean. A peeler does have direct contact with food. But again, what are you peeling? Again, if you're peeling just potatoes and it's cold, then technically speaking, you just have to rinse it off and make sure it's fully cleaned. Okay, bittel chametz. One should do the bittel at night and by the day. By night, we still have designated chametz, so we're not mevatel everything. We're only mevatel that which we don't know about. During the day, we're mevatel everything. So therefore, the bittel during the day, you do the bittel at night. You do when the bedikah is completed. And the bittel in the day, you do once you were mevar everything. Because if you're not mevar everything and you're doing the bittel, then you're mevatel all the chametz you still have. You can't, once you do the bittel, you can't eat any more chametz either, because now you're mevatel it. Also, one shouldn't rely on a shlich for bittel. Every individual person in the family should make their own bittel.
At night, if you did bittel, then you can't eat any more.
No, the night you could. Because the night you still had some chametz that you might eat. Until the next day, but everybody should make their own bittel, including your wives, your kids. They should all make their own bittel as well. And bittel is not it's not some heebie-jeebie thing. It's not a tefillah. It's not a it's a declaration. And if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, he even says you should say it in Yiddish. He writes it out in Yiddish. Allah. I'm saying the guy, everything the gas, yeah. That's what he says. Because he wants you to understand. So for women, I tell my wife to read the English one and say the English one. Because it's the reason we do it in Aramaic is because we understand it. But today, if people are saying in Aramaic, they don't know what they're saying. Aramaic, nobody, people don't know what they're saying. So anyways, so do it in English. Or not you, I'm saying you can do it if you understand what you're saying. But if you're, I have my wife do it in English and kids. And you should also, when you're doing the bittel, have in mind that you're disowning the chametz and that it no longer has any value. Okay, once the zman bir chametz arrives, you have to do it right away. You shouldn't be busy with other things. You shouldn't sit down to eat. Once the zman of the bir arrives, you should do it right away. Taking garbage down to the curbside with chametz in it, once you put it down by the curb, it's mafkia. And even if you have chametz in there that's in the garbage, it's taka bit. The whole thing of bittel is that you're showing that you don't care about it anymore. But if you have, the reason, why can't we just rely on bittel stamazai? Why don't we just say, even if I have some chametz, I do bittel, so there's no chametz anymore. Because if you have a big piece of cake or you have something, a real chametz, so it comes out, let's say you did the bittel and you have a nice, $200 bottle of scotch in the cabinet, right? So the bittel wasn't really a bittel because you still have in mind that scotch, right? So the bittel means you have to, the bittel only works for chametz that you don't care about. So when you're throwing chametz in the garbage, and that garbage goes down the street, that's taka, the bittel that you're doing is gone. You don't care about it anymore. You don't care about the chametz in the garbage anymore. So now, Wesley Hills, they actually take the chametz, they take the garbage from your driveway. So I don't feel comfortable with that. I put it down by the street, They're it in the gas, right? I put it down to the street. But once it's in the garbage, it shouldn't be any different. I just feel more, that's just my own personal way. I feel more comfortable when it's down there. So when you're doing the hider of burning the chametz, of Ein Bir Chametz El Sreifa, the hider is for the burning, is that that's the last chametz that you're getting out of your rishus. So that means that you shouldn't burn the chametz and then flush this down the toilet and then throw this into the dumpster. Meaning first throw this into the dumpster, flush that down the toilet, do everything else, and now the last chametz you go in the back and then you do a bonfire. Which reminds me, I have to get a burn permit. I'm running a little tight here. Also to do beer chametz in to do the burning in a public place is you're getting rid of the chametz, but you're not becoming Ein Bir Chametz El Sreifa, because once you throw it into the public area, you're already mafkia from your rishus before it burnt up. So it's better if you do it yourself in the backyard, or if you do a more private. Also, I see this a lot by some of these, when you do beer chametz, people take big pieces of challah, like a whole bunch of challah, they throw it in, and it's not all going to burn up. So better to throw the challah in the garbage, unless you have a really big gesunta fire. If you have a small backyard bonfire, if you're going to take 20 bilkulas in there, they're not going to all burn up properly, at least not in the proper mind. Throw them in the garbage, throw them in the dumpster. Wesley Hills Village has a dumpster for village residents. So just take it there, dump it there, and then take your last challah and that throw in there. Or unless you have a real gesunta, gesunta fire. But if you don't have a big, serious fire, then your chumra is going to come to a kula. Don't wrap the chametz in foil. I've seen that. I've seen people throw beer into the fire. With a glass and everything. Okay. Erev Pesach. Children under age of chinuch allowed to eat matzah all day long, even prior to kiddush. If they're young, they're not gonna be up for the. They're not gonna fully get the seder, anyways. Hopefully you'll get as much as you can. But saying the chinuch under the age of chinuch, they don't have to be makbet on that. And this is brought down already from the Gemara. It's very important that in order to maintain an appetite for the matzah at night, you shouldn't sit down to a meal after 10 hours into the day, which is 4 hours into chatzos. You can snack. You can have nash. You can even, have meat and fish in small quantity. But you want to come into the Seder L'Teyavin. As far as Bachrim for a Siyam, they need to eat at least a Kezias at the Siyam or drink a Rias. It doesn't have to be Mizainis even. It can be just a Shahakal. But they need to have something at the Siyam to partake in it. Let's get to the Seder. Okay, I just want to add about chumras that Pesach is the time of year where you hear all these interesting chumras, and everybody who's keeping a chumra is doing it. They're doing it to for proper. They're doing it. They want to be mahadir. So chumras are great, but certain chumras, if it's gonna, you have to always understand if it's gonna cause any shalom bias, or there's, you know, let's say a person, let's say he doesn't mish, and his wife always grew up mishing, and now she wants to eat by, you know, her sister, and now, oh, I don't mish. So in that case, whenever you're doing a chumra and it's gonna impact someone else, ask a shayla. That's the point. Don't take the chumras on your own without asking a shayla. Even if you have that chumra for a long time, it's a family minig, you know, ask a shayla if it's going to impact other people. So, you know, there's a lot of, again, every chumra that's out there, and you find some very interesting ones, you know, very creative ones. I just heard people, somebody doesn't need any chicken. Still don't need any chicken today. Again, if it's going to elevate you and make your Pesach more geschmack, and it's a family minig, you know, gesunte Heit. But just make sure if it's going to impact somebody else, ask a shayla. Okay, you know, we grew up not in Gebrachts, and my grandfather used to daven at Chassidus Shul, and he would come very late, and I wanted to eat something before, but I didn't want to sit down to have a whole meal because we didn't start the meal yet. So I didn't want to be. I wanted to make a kiddush, but then on Pesach you can't make a mezainis because if you don't keep Gebrachts, what are you going to make a mezainis on? Right, so I asked the shayl if I could be matir to, again, I could drink a revius yayim, but that's b'dieved. So I got a heter to break my gebrucht salsa, so I can have a proper kiddush, a proper einig yontif. But again, even something like gebrucht, if you need to ask a shayl, ask a shayl. You know what I'm saying? If it's impacting you, or if it's impacting your einig yontif, or impacting your shalom bias, ask a shayl. Okay, so basically, when Pesach comes in, Erev Pesach, make sure the table's set. Before Pesach, you want to start the Seder as soon as possible. I know this is very hard, especially when you have young kids, but it's very important. Try to get the table set and ready to roll when you come home from shul. Second night is a little harder because you have to wait because of Hachana, from the first day to the second day. So you can't start anything until 50 minutes or whatever, you know, whatever the zman you hold by. So like you have this year, yeah, especially with Shabbos comes into Yantiv. Okay, Erev Pesach Matzahs. If you can get a hold of them, it's a very big inyan. It's not just a Hasidic Shazach. It's brought down by Rashi. If you can get a hold of them, I'm gonna say this here on the record, but somebody once complained after the Rav gave a shir how important it is to have. He said, it's very nice, but how am I supposed to get them? Where do I get them from? So he said, you speak to me, you let me know, and I'll make sure to help you out. So anybody who really wants to mekayem the mitzvah and really doesn't know where to get them from, you can text the Rav, and he said he'll help out, he'll help you get there, Pesach Matzahs. Okay, as far as Tzeisach HaChavim, that's when we want to start the Seder before Tzeisach HaChavim, because you already start, the first mitzvah is Dal Kaisis. Right, Dal Kaisis has to be when you already can be Mekayim Chilas Matzah, which is after Tzeis. But Marv, you can daven early. You can daven Marv early. There's no Kpeda on that. However, the Rav does say that you should do Halal after Tzeis. So if you're davening, try to time it so by the time you get the Halal, that will already be after Tzeis. If you say Halal, Well, I'm not going to go through that now, but Halal is definitely, it's very hard to find. Today it's harder to find. Even Nusach Sfarad all says Halal. Nusach Ashkenaz, you go to the Grunix, they say Halal. A lot of Nusach Ashkenaz shul, they have the people who Sfarad who say it anyways, so they still say it. It's very hard to find the shul that doesn't say Halal. But the Rama says not to say it, and the Mechaber says to say it. But at the end of the day, It seems the pashtus is the way the mechaber says it. You say it in the ima, but you know you say it with a geshmak. There's definitely a lot. The mechaber has a lot to rely on, and if someone does not have a strong family minig not to say it, they should say it unless they have a strong family minig not to say it. Okay, every person at the table should have their own becher for and their own. They should have their own dollar crisis. Even if they're not bar bas mitzvah, they should have their own dal kaisis, and they should make their own kiddush. Now, if you're going to have everybody make kiddush, it's going to take a very long time. So you can do, normally we say trei kol mishtamsha, right? You can't have two voices at the same time. But here you could have people, when the bar bas makes kiddush, you can have everybody can say kiddush with him in an undertone. No, it doesn't have to be. I mean, it's just more practical that way. And you can have like 10 people make Kiddush at the same time. It's just, it sounds funny. But, yeah. Okay, when one makes the Kiddush, he should have in mind that he is fulfilling the mitzvah of Arba Kaisis. There's a lot of things to have in mind. We don't make a bracha on the Arba Kaisis, but you should have that in mind. Now, women who make a Shachiyonu when they do Adlakas Neris, so now if they're going to, they shouldn't make a Shachiyonu now when they're making Kiddush, because they already had the Shachiyonu. But they should also not answer Amen when the man makes a Shachiyonu, because for them it's a Hefsik. So tell it to your wives. Okay. Or, Metz Hashem. The curve. Okay. Okay, as far as drinking wine versus grape juice. So, basically, if you have a low tolerance to alcohol, if you have a low alcohol wine and you dilute it, which you could do, you're really not, and you don't use a big shear, you're really not having that much alcohol at the end of the day. Again, if somebody can't have any, then they shouldn't have. You can, of course, you can dilute. First of all, you can dilute. You can take grape juice. You can take grape juice and dilute it with wine. So that way, you want to still have the flavor of the alcohol, because that's derech eres. You want to have a little kick to it. So if you can't have a full cup, at least just, you know, top it off with some wine and have the flavor of wine. You can dilute with water too. I'm saying you could. The only one you shouldn't dilute with water is the Kedem Light, because that's already diluted. They put extra water and citric acid and some other, you know. But regular grape juice you can dilute. I forget. It's either two thirds. You can do most. Yeah, you can definitely dilute it. But when I'm saying dilute, I mean dilute the grape juice. Dilute the wine with grape juice. That's what I'm talking about. But again, at the end of the day, if somebody has a low tolerance, you're not drinking that much alcohol if you're mishai yourself. I have no problem. I drink a big cup and I fill it all with wine and Baruch Hashem, I'm fine. You know, I'm saying for most people, most men at least, okay, gesundheit. So you have an 8-ounce cup. You drink grape kais or kola kais. You know, it's spread out the cup. Okay, you know, okay. But I'm saying, first of all, a lot of women don't like doing that. And some older people or people who have, you know, people who have they can't have too much sugar, whatever it is. At the end of the day, it's not such a big shear if you plan it properly. Now, I'm going to give also a shout out to Auction Mart. Somebody told me that if you go there, you can ask them for a certain cup, 4 ounces, 3 ounces. You can get the shear that you want. That they have all the shear in there, and they give you a cup. They can give you a becher on the size that you're looking for. So That's what I heard. So if you want to be Mishire, exactly which shear, and we'll talk about all the shiurim, but you can go to Auction Mart and they'll tell you, they'll give you a cup according to, you know, Moshe Feinstein, they'll give you a cup according to Chaim Noah, they'll give you a Chazanish cup, they'll give you the full, you know. Anyways, okay, so grape juice could be used if you cannot drink wine, right? Grape juice is still, Chamar Medina is very bidyevid, but we generally don't rely on Chamar Medina, but if a guy is really stuck, then, you know, he can ask a Shaila and, you know. But grape juice, if somebody can't drink wine, then they should drink grape juice. If somebody prefers a mevushal, let's say mevushal versus non-mevushal, it goes by your preference, what you like better. Meaning, it's the quality of the wine to you that's gonna be the more important factor. Red wine is preferred over white wine. Again, if you have a superior white wine, then use that over the red wine. But it's as a hidder, you can color it. Now, there's no problem of coloring food unless you're dafka doing it for coloring. So what you should do is, let's say you have a white wine. You have, you know, you like Moscato d'Asti, let's say, right? The white, you know, the blue bottle. But you want to have red wine. So either before Shabbos or before Yom Tov, dilute it. You add a little red in it. Or you can do it on Shabbos, or, you know, this year Shabbos, on Yom Tov. You can basically, what you do is you pour the white wine into the grape juice, and that way it'll color it. Again, and that's a problem. That's no problem, because that's kama bottle. You're not coloring the white wine red. You're just pouring the white wine into the red grape juice. So that's not going to be a problem. Okay, so it's preferably to drink it. Derecheres is obviously you do hesebo, which we're going to talk about, but you don't guzzle the whole thing down, but you don't want to be mafsik either. So you drink it, you know, you drink it very relaxed and drink the whole thing in one shot, but slow and not like gulping it down. That's the proper derecheres. Okay, so the shirim, as far as the shirim for the kaisis, the minimum shear is a revius. Now, what is a revius? Now, maybe now with Shelly Lehrer's chiddush with the eggs, we can come out with Chazal's exact definition of the revius. But at the end of the day, you have the 5.3 ounces is the chazanish, right? 150 gram. That's the largest shear. The smallest shear is about 2.9 fluid ounces or 86 gram. That's Reb Chaim Noah. Now Reb Moshe has two different shearim that he brings down. Reb Moshe, the one that he brings down in Igros Moshe is 4.5 fluid ounces, but he also the generally accepted view of what the shear he holds is 3.3 fluid ounces. So at the end of the day, halach lemaisa, we should at least try to have at least 3.3 fluid ounces. If you can have more than 4 ounces, that's preferred. Now this year when the Lel Seder falls out on Friday night, kiddush is the raisa. So you should be mahadah the first cup to have a larger shear. You should try to have at least 4.5 ounces, or if you want to go like the chazanish, 5.3 ounces. This year, get a bigger cup for the first cup of kiddush. Now you should try to drink the entire contents of the cup, but you're only required to drink rife kais. Now you have to be careful what type of cup you're getting. If you get one of these big kais of shelo, you want to be a real balabatish guy there, you know. You have to drink, right? I get a 25-ounce cup, you got to drink right of 25 ounces. So get a smaller cup if you don't want to drink the whole, you know, most of the cup. So you should drink Rav Kais. Okay. Now, if somebody, again, getting back to somebody with a low wine tolerance, so if they do a smaller shear, if they do a shear, even let's say your Moshe finds you 3.3 ounces, right? If they do that, and they dilute it, with grape juice, let's say 50-50. So now they're down to 1.75 ounces of alcohol, and they only drink rave kais, right? You know what I'm saying? How much? I mean, truth is, you should drink revius. I'm saying, but it's not that much alcohol at the end of the day, and you spread it out over the entire seder. It's not such a big deal. Okay, again, if somebody can't, then they can't. But if you have a low alcohol tolerance, take a smaller cup and dilute it with grape juice. You should rinse the cup out between the third and the fourth cup. You don't have to rinse it out. Normally we do by Kai Shal Bracha, we do Shtifa V'Hadacha. We rinse it out on the inside and outside. You only have to do that after the Suda. You don't have to do it between the first and second cup, and not between the third and the fourth cup. Okay, Heseba. So again, this is you can give a whole share on this, and I can spend an hour just on a seba alone, and we're not going to do that right now. But basically, the idea is to be comfortable and relaxed. And you have to, if you're leaning and you're kvetching, you're falling apart. That's not the key. Today, really, the seba, you look at the ravya, which is brought down by the Shulchan Aruch. It's really, he says that in the olden days they used to be reclining, they used to have their own personal table, they had their own couch at the table, and there was geschmack, they were spread out, they were almost like lying on a couch with their own personal table. If you look at the you look at the Haggadah, where it says that when you do the Manashtana, you take away the table, and then that's the kind of Ben Shoyal. You know, why are we taking away the table? You're encouraging the kid to ask by doing funny things. How do you take away the table today? Right? You can't take away the table. So in those days, each person had their own personal, their own personal table. So with the personal table came with a couch. That was how the wealthy class, that's how they ate. So today you don't have that concept. Even the wealthy class doesn't sit like that. But still, so it's more like derech cheres. The idea is to show cheres. So you want to lean back and you want to be very comfortable. So but still we follow Chazal. We still follow the concept of a seba to remember the. So like I said, it's really more of like a zechel cheres, zechel haseba. But according to the Rav Yah. But again, we do it and we try to do it as comfortable. So don't try to kvetch yourself and lean when you're not comfortable. You have to do it in a comfortable way. We do haseba by. That when you drink the arba kaisis by the chilas matzah and by the afikayman, then it's required. And if you didn't do it, then you have to do. If you didn't do it, then you have to do those again, for the most part. As far as magid, most opinion holds you don't do a seba by magid. Korech, but when you have the sandwich and when you eat the shulchan aruch, when you eat the meal, you should also preferably do haseba then as well. There's different minhagim regarding women doing a seba. Big machlekes, if chashav a woman, they do haseba, right? What's considered chashav? It's a whole debate. You know, women today, pretty much. Today, women are considered chashuv. They make their own independent decisions. They can go shopping on their own. There's a lot of... I'm not going there now. Okay, but in my family, the women do haseba. We consider them chashuv. Okay, karpas. Okay, when you make hadama on karpas, you should have in mind the bracha to include the mar. So the hadama includes the mar. When Pesach falls out on Friday night, the salt water, like this year... Don't make the salt water on Shabbos. There's a problem of making salt water on Shabbos, so you should make it before Shabbos. And you should eat less than a kazayas, a karpas, so you don't create a suffix bar and a fushas. And if you eat more than a kazayas, a karpas, you should still not make a bar and a fushas. Also, now I give out candy to the kids. It's an encouragement to get good questions. If they ask a good question, they get candy. And if they ask bad questions, they get pickles or that's how it works by us. but that the Shulchan Aruch even says that you should be mechalek klois vegoizim. You should give out nuts and what are klois? Different types of nash. Okay, so I give out candy for good questions and it really works. It's a very good eitzah, but it's not my eitzah. It's the Shulchan Aruch's eitzah. But now, so I give it out to the kids. I take some of the candy too. I have a marshmallow, but really, you shouldn't do it after you have the karpas. I just because now after the karpas, you're gonna, because again, if I have more than kazayas, I mean, what I could do is I have a little candy. It's not a problem as long as I have less than a shear for burn and fushes, and I spread it out. L'chore, that shouldn't be a problem. Bracha Yishayin is not the problem. The problem is bracha achrayna. If I have three marshmallows. Right, I'm not going to make a bracha achrayna until much later. So, if you have a pachas, if you have a small like candy, then l'chayre it's okay. I'm saying, I saw brought down actually this year. I just saw in the dershir he brings down not just about not drinking, but he talks about not eating, but because of the suffix brachas. So, don't eat a lot. if you're a nash, keep the nashing minimal. You know, the kids can nash. You know, let the kids nash. They can have the klayis begoizim. Okay. When you complete the yachatz, you should. That's when you fill. And many people forget this, including myself, to fill the second cup at the start of Magid. Right, fill the second cup. Then you know, often I'm like, oh, I'm already up to, you know, way back there, and I didn't fill the second cup. So when you start the Magid, also have in mind that you're mekayim the mitzvah of Sibri Yetzias Mitzrayim, and this is very important. The Magid should not be a forum for everybody to give Dvar Torah. And of course, the kids, you need to be, they want, that. That's how they're involved. But the idea is, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, you're telling over a story, you're making them ask questions, you know, the varts should be for Shulchan Aruch or the next day during lunch. All the extra, you know, again, they're all excellent and the kids work on them a lot and you should involve them, they should say some of them just so they're part, they're engaged. But when if the whole Magid becomes a bunch of kids, all the kids saying a bunch of Divrei Torah, then you're failing in the proper perspective of Magid. So what I do is I go through my kids' sheets and everything, but all and I go be'iyun during the day meal. First of all, at night there, anyways, you know, the younger ones especially. So, but I make sure during the day, at least, all the retirees and the varts and Ben Azaria and the you know B'nai Brak and why where was B'nai Brak, you know, these are, and they're beautiful, but I can't. If I focus on that during the Seder and every kid and we're never going to get anywhere, and then you're going to lose somebody. You got to get everybody engaged, and you have all different age groups, so you have to make sure to keep everybody on target. And I'm not saying I see it as true myself, but this was the Rav's advice in his when he gave the when he spoke over about Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So short and intense, and stay focused. As far as uncovering the matzahs, generally when you lift the kais, you cover the matzahs. That's generally the when you open the matzahs, you close the matzahs, right? When you pick up the cup or when you lift the cup, that's when the matzah. Basically, when the matzahs are uncovered, the cup is held. When you held the cup, that's when you put that's when the matzahs are covered. But they're going to be generally uncovered during the magid. Achilas matzah. Okay. So if you have Erev Pesach matzahs, you want to have, if you only have enough for a kazayas, so it's preferable to have the Erev Pesach matzahs for the afikoman. Now, here's how you do the achilas matzah, right? So you have the three matzahs. You make the achilas matzah. So you go like this. The general minig is you take all three. You're supposed to hold the matzah in your hand when you make the bracha. Right? Just like you hold the challah in your hand, right? So you hold the matzah. You have all three matzahs. So the top matzah is going to be used for mitzi matzah. The middle matzah is also going to be used for mitzi matzah. That's the lachamayni. The third matzah you're going to use for kairach. So you make the you make the hamaitzi with all three in your hand, and then you drop the bottom one, which is going to be for kairach. That's it, right? The bottom one, and then now you make the next bracha alichilas matzah with the top two, okay? And the top two you eat together, right? Those you have one is for achilas matzah, one is for lechabayni, and then the next one, the last one is for kairach, and you're supposed to lean when you do achilas matzah and do the kairach. And if you forgot to lean, do it again. You can do it again with Haseba. Okay, so what I do is, because you have that, if you have your own little, if you have you're not going to be able to give to everybody with your piece. So I mean, as the Baal Bas, I have my own, and I try to give a small amount from the Achilas Matzah and the Prusa. I try to give that out to everybody.
The top one
and the middle one, the broken one. Yeah, but they supplement with the other matzahs that are around, because you're not going to have enough for everybody on that. Same thing with Afikomen. Exactly. If you don't have enough in there, you machalik from the pot, but they get some of the main one from you. Right, because I'm not gonna have enough to give out Correct. You shouldn't go off topic on discussions that are not related to matzah mar from the time you have you wash on the matzah until after you eat the korech. So stay on topic and stay focused until after the korech. And you don't take a break while eating the first gazayas of matzah. You eat the gazayas and then you mafsik. Meaning, don't talk until you finish your first gazayas. We're getting to the end here. I think we were able to almost get it in an hour. But okay, the shirim of achilas matzah. L'chatchila five gazayasim of matzah. You have five gazayasim of matzah at the seder. Two kazesim are during the motzi matzah. One is for the achilas matzah, one is for lachamoni. Then you have another kazayas for korech. Then you have two kazesim for afikomen. One is for the zecher l'karban pesach, and one is a zecher, and one is a zecher to the matzah that was eaten together with the karban pesach. Okay, so those are the five kazesim you're supposed to have l'chatchila at the seder. But the eved, if you just had one kazayas for motzi matzah, one for korech, and one for Levikomen, you're still that meaning b'di'evad that you can, if you can't have all five kazesim, then have three kazesim, one for achilas matzah, one for the korech, and one for the afikomen. Now, how big is, what's the shir kazayas for matzah? So the shir kazayas, basically, again, you have the machlokas between the contemporary poskim. The Chazanish holds it's 1.76 ounces. Reb Chaim Noah says 1.0 ounces. And Reb Moshe Feinstein is 1.5 ounces, okay? So, now, you're not going to sit there measuring on Yontif, but if you wanted a practical idea, basically, in most matzahs, according to the 1 ounce shear, it's not going to be larger than a third of a matzah. Now, this is a mitzvah d'oraisa, so you want to have a larger shear, right? But since you're already machmer on the extra matzah, right? The achilas matzah, you have two kazesim, right? And then you have the korech. So you're already getting all the shiurim. So therefore, you can if you're saimich on the smaller shiur, you're still going to be okay. Again, if you want to be machmer 100%, have more matzah. You know, for most people, it's not a problem. But if somebody has trouble eating, then if they can be saimich on a smaller shiur, and because anyways they're going to have enough with all the matzahs that's eaten anyways. The first kazayas you have to eat kedei achilas pras, which ranges from 3 to 9 minutes. The Rav brings down in the Mishkan Hitzal Haggadah, he says he brings down a share of 4 minutes to rely on. Okay, more on Kairach. To eat the biggest share in 3 minutes, Haggadah is not so right. you're stretched thin on both sides, right? Okay. You dip the mar in Chareises, you shake off the excess Chareises, and then you say the Bracha L'chilas Mar, and then you eat a Kazayas without leading. That's as far as achilas mar, and then the preferred type of mar is romaine lettuce. You're able to combine, let's say, horseradish and lettuce together. You can, or any other thing to have your kazayas. What's that? You say what? No, you don't do a seva by mar. No, like korech you do a seva, but not by mar. The as far as let's say a shear, I you know like definitely like a kazayas. If you, I mean again, if you squeeze a lettuce together, it's there's a lot of dense. You know, but I'm saying like if you have a nice head of lettuce, like a normal size, that will definitely be a kazayas. Like a normal size piece of lettuce is definitely going to cover you. What's that?
Stalks themselves are also, they're thicker.
Yeah, the stalks are thicker. Now, the Mishabura says not to take horseradish. If you have a big kazayas of horseradish and you don't cut it or grate it and swallow it whole, one should not do that. You're gonna get heartburn, and then you might not get to the afikoman in time. So just he brings that in as a practical recommendation not to be a yavei l'day sakana. Okay, so you should have an additional kazayis of mara for karech, and by the karech you do it behaseba. The mechaber says to dip the karech into charoises, and the Rama argues and says that we don't dip the karech in charoises. So I don't. You dip it in charoises, right, Shmuel? Okay. So Sfardim they dip the karech into charoises. For mara, you use it for mara, not for the karech. So the more you use it, and you know how you're not even you shake it off. Also, you're not using that. Karach, we don't even shake it off.
Why not just dip it in?
The Rus says not to. The Rus says we don't. Yeah, that's what the Rus says. The Mechaber says yeah, and the Rus says we our meaning is not to. Okay, we'll look at it after. Okay, we're almost there. Afikomen should be eaten preferably before chatzos. I try. It's very hard sometimes, but I try to get chatzos. And, you know, sometimes you go to people and you know, you're not the Baal Bas and you don't make it, but you should try to make it. Even if you miss the deadline, you should still eat the afikomen afterwards. What time is it? Right. No, I don't mean now. I mean, it's a matter of... It's 12:55. The Mishnah Berurah says even to finish halal by chatzos. That's hard. I mean, again, I try to do that too, if possible. But it's that's not such a kapeda. I mean, if you can, that's great. I write here if the afikomen is lost or if there is difficulty negotiating the terms for its retrieval, it can be substituted with other pieces of matzah. Okay. Again, that's preferred. But if you can take from the box if you're stuck. After you eat the afikomen, you shouldn't eat anything else. And if you did eat something, you should eat another kazayas of matzah to have the last thing in your mouth, the flavor of afikomen. Okay, baruch and hal, the general minig is to say shvei chamoscha and then you pour the fourth cup, because the wine is specific for halal. So it's not for shvei chamoscha, it's not, you know, people often put them together, but really the next cup is specifically the cup for halal. Normally, we have we give the reach the zeman, right? We give the guest the zeman, but to lead the zeman. But by the Leil Seder, the Baal Bayis is mevarch. The meaning is that the Baal Bayis is the one that's mevarch. And hal, you should say hal responsively, meaning the same way you do it in shul with Hodel Hashem and Hodel Hashem Kitayv Chasdai, and then everybody answers you. On Hashem Hashina, then the tzibur answers you. Same thing, you do it. Right, if you're all up to the same place at the same time. The Baal Bas is going to be the chazan, right. The Baal Bas is going to lead. Now, here's something that happens a lot. Okay, what happens if you're doing halal? You say, melech mula batish b'chois, right, before you finish halal gadol. Right, you know, at the end of halal, you haluch al Hashem akal ma'asecha, rochat Hashem melech mula batish b'chois. You don't do that. You go straight to halal gadol and nishmas. But many times people automatically, on autopilot, they say the bracha for halal. They say melech mula batish b'chois. I mean, I know a lot of people who do that. So what do you do when that happens? So you still continue with halal agadol. You still continue with nishmas, and then you don't do the bracha after yishtabach. You just finish when you get to bracha tashem melech mula batish b'chois. You don't do that bracha. But I've seen this happen on more than one occasion. Okay, and then the last cup you should drink at least a full revius because you have to make a bracha achreina. Right, the other ones you're going to make the bracha achreina with the meal. But here, this last cup, you need to have an algefen, so you drink a revius to qualify the algefen. Okay, after you finish the fourth cup, you shouldn't drink anything except for water. The second night is more coolest, but Like if you want a tea in the second night, there's more coolest. But you don't have to complete all the piyutim in Nirtza. Again, if you're up and you could do it, Gevaldik. And the Shulchan Aruch says that upon when you finish the Seder, you should focus on Hilchas Pesach, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and all the Nisim that Hashem did. And Ache Yichatfenu Shena, right? So it's very hard to do this, and you need to have somebody else who's engaged in that. And if you can do it, the Matayv Manom, if you can, that's the Iker thing. Anyways, so just to end off, the idea is that you want to make Pesach a Zman Simchasenu. It's all these things that we do, all these cleaning and, you know, and scrubbing and the chairs and the tables and the kitchen and the bedrooms and the dining room and the cars. The whole idea is that it should be, it should give us a good gishmak yantif. If you're stressing out about it and it's driving you crazy, there's something that you're missing the boat. You have to make it enjoyable. You have to make it a zman simchasenu. So you're doing it, all these things that you do, all the chumras that you take, they have to be for your growth, and they have to be for not to get stressed out about. So that's, one has to remember that. And we wish everybody to have a chag kosher v'sameach. So it shouldn't just be a chag kosher. It has to be v'sameach. You have to make sure, don't forget that you have to be v'sameach. You have to be v'simcha the whole yontif. All right, shkoyach. All right.